The IRS, you might have heard, has to collect most of the revenue coming into the government, but it's got to do it legally and fairly. Congress has been keeping an eye on the IRS ever since the tax-exempt scandal broke in 2013. In its latest study, the Government Accountability Office looked into how the IRS Wage and Investment Division handles tax returns flagged for audit. It found some good things and some matters that need tightening up. Joining me with more, Jessica Lucas-Judy, Acting Director of Tax Issues at the GAO. Ms. Lucas-Judy, great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
All right, so tell us what you found operates pretty well within the Wage and Investment Division.
Well, first of all, the Wage and Investment Division is that part of IRS that most individuals are likely to have some kind of interaction with because they deal with individual tax returns and they also provide customer assistance. Now, for audits, that division primarily focuses on refundable credits, which are those that provide a refund even if a person doesn't owe any taxes. And the one that most people have probably heard of is EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit. And that's a credit that's provided, it's a benefit that's provided to workers with low to moderate incomes. But what people don't necessarily know is that EITC was the second biggest contributor to the federal improper payment rate in 2014. And specifically, it accounted for $17.7 billion of estimated improper payments. And it's a very complex credit, so it's important that there be some oversight. So as you said, we focused in on two things. What is the Wage and Investment Division's process for selecting tax returns for audit? And then second, how well do its selection procedures support the division's mission and goal to provide to apply the tax law with integrity and fairness to all? And we found some good things, as you said. We found that IRS had generally established a very positive control environment. So, for example, fairness is part of their mission. They require ethics training and discussions for their staff, and their staff evaluations include fair and equitable treatment for taxpayers.
But you found some issues that they need to tighten up. For example, they focus on audit results rather than audit selection. What does that mean?
Right. So they have performance measures in place to assess how well they're doing, but they're focusing primarily on efficiency of the process. So, for example, they look at what they call the no change rate, which is the number of audits that don't result in any changes to what the taxpayer is assessed. And so they focus on trying to keep that low, which is a good thing from an efficiency standpoint, but it doesn't necessarily tell you whether what they're doing is fair.
And also they have trouble defining the words fairness and integrity, and you say that's required by their internal control standards. How do you define words like that?
Well, that would be something that would be very important, we think, for IRS to define. Because if you don't have a definition for fairness, that leaves it up to individual employees to determine what fairness means. And what one person determines as fair might not be the same thing as what someone else determines as fair.
This would be definitions deployed to the public and not used necessarily internally by the IRS?
Well, it would be both. It would be a definition that would be communicated to all of the IRS employees that are responsible for selecting returns for audit and doing the audit. But then it would also be transparent to the public, so the public would know what the IRS considers to be a fair selection. We also found that they didn't have, as you said, measures for fair selection or objectives to help them figure out how they're going to get there. And so that makes it really difficult to know whether the Wage and Investment Division is actually achieving its desired results.
Is this the type of issue that the commissioner should get involved with?
We made our recommendations to the commissioner, and then it's really up to IRS to determine, at what level to implement it.
And I wanted to also ask you about this notion that there are three offices that do this. Tell us about the structure of the IRS, and does that introduce the possibility of inconsistency depending on which office a taxpayer might end up dealing with?
Well, the different offices within the Wage and Investment Division have different roles. So, for example, there is one part of the division that deals primarily with an automated system that selects more than half of the returns for audit. And so they set criteria, and when returns are assessed through that system, if they trigger certain criteria, a taxpayer automatically receives a notice from the IRS explaining what the inconsistency is or what the question is and asked to provide more information.
So that's the one office, and the other two do different things.
Right. There's another one that looks at fraud, potential fraud, or triggers for potential fraud in audits or in returns, and then refers them for additional scrutiny that might or might not result in an audit. And there are other offices that that deal with referrals coming in from different parts of IRS or different parts of the government. So there's a number of different things going on there. Our recommendations were focused at the higher level of the Wage and Investment Division so that there would be consistency throughout the agency.
We are speaking with Jessica Lucas-Judy, Acting Director for Tax Issues at the GAO. And how do you go about investigating a situation like this where it's so intangible? I mean, do you sit and watch how people do their work, or do you ask questions, or do you look at the paperwork that they generate? How does it happen?
Well, we looked at a number of different things. You know, we looked at their process for selecting returns, and so we reviewed their Internal Revenue Manual that provides their guidance. We looked at their strategic plan. We looked at their policies and procedures, communication with their officials. And then we also interviewed IRS officials at a number of different levels within the agency. And then finally, we looked at data on their returns that were selected for audit from 2013 and 2014 tax years.
Now, I've heard that the number of returns flagged for audit has been declining. The IRS says because of personnel and budgetary issues, fewer and fewer are being flagged for audit. Is that something you looked at and the trends there?
That wasn't something that we looked at for this particular audit. I mean, we did have data on their returns that were selected and where they came from. You know, one issue is that IRS recently restructured, and so that accounted for some of the difference from year to year, if it was specific to the Wage and Investment Division.
And do you get the sense they have enough people now to carry out what their duties are, at least in wage and investments?
Well, that was something that was outside of the scope of this particular audit. We've done we had another report that was issued in December looking at the 2015 tax filing season and customer service that was provided. And what we reported there was, you know, that since fiscal year 2010, IRS has had a decline in service and a decline in that corresponds with a decline in their appropriations.
So what comes next? Other plans that you have for looking at the IRS? What else is Congress, do you think, going to be interested in the coming year?
Well, we did this report as one of a series of reports looking at different portions of IRS, different divisions within the agency. So we had another one in December 2015 that looked at the Small Business Self-Employed Division, and we had similar findings there. And then earlier last year, we also looked at other parts of IRS. We made a number of recommendations in this report to IRS to clearly define terms like fairness, to set up performance measures for evaluating the audit selection process, to implement procedures to make sure that all of the processes it uses to select returns are consistently documented, and any corrective actions that it identifies in the process, that those are implemented in a timely manner. And IRS agreed with all of our recommendations, and we're going to continue to work with the agency and follow up with them to ensure that those recommendations are implemented.
Jessica Lucas-Judy is Acting Director for Tax Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.